Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's as
now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, you can.
That is great.
You can pick your own word for Bill Belichick. Unseemly, gross.
Oh, damn,
improper.
Now is this about him and his young
unfitting,
girl, or I'm talking about just
indiscreet?
The because what he did in New England is, come on, he's a hoodie, man, a legend. It's like, leave her at home, Bill. Quit rubbing people the wrong way. Everybody's not comfortable with it.
Yeah, I mean.
But win, and it's all good. But when you lose, yikes.
I think it looks bad no matter what.
I just got some disturbing news during the break.
What happened?
An informant let me know that Mark Willard on his show, Willard and Dibbs, talked about we played each other last week. He said I had one of arguably the worst, if I'm correct, from the informant.
You mean Grandy?
Oh, my, Stoddy, I don't play that.
Well, you brought it up.
Why wouldn't you dive him out?
It wasn't on the air, Goo.
You oughta.
Anyway, here I am texting him like, oh, you're 0-5. I'm giving him a shoulder. I put hands on him. And then I find out he said I had arguably one of the worst teams ever, and I'm 3-2. Yeah, put some respect on my fantasy team, baby.
Hey, we used this word yesterday. You know what it is? You know what Belichick is?
This dude.
He's crass. That's what he is. He's crass. God, I was just starting to come around to him.
Dude, man, it's bad.
Showing a lack of intelligence and sensitivity. You're not a man of God.
And his little, all everything doesn't hit, everything hits different now. His comedy, his personality, it's just like, yeah, bud, that ain't, but you're winning at home.
Let's go to Mr. Frisco. By the way, coming up in 10 minutes, Ted Wynn, senior writer for The Athletic, covers the NFL and the Niners. And we've had him on before, and he is he's great. So that's coming up in 10 minutes. Hey, Mr. Frisco, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I love your guys' show. I'll keep it short, the whole Mac Jones, Brock Purdy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have really short memories. I go back to when Garoppolo got here, and he won a bunch of games. He got a huge contract. People thought he was the next coming of the Savior. And look what happened. So Purdy has a track record. I really love his game. I love his attitude. I love his work ethic. I hope Mac Jones does great, but we have our number one quarterback. And quickly, Goo.
Yes, sir.
You said 52, man. Should have kept it there, bro.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mr. Frisco, real quick, the issue is when with Brock Purdy, I think, more than is he. How would you deal with when to bring him back?
If he's honest, and who knows how honest he can be because he wants to get back on the field, especially with Mac Jones playing so well. But when he's healthy, he comes back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been playing without his weapons. He was hurt a lot last year. But the guy, I mean, he's had some amazing games over a long period of time, and I like the fact that he played a lot of college ball and did well there.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Frisco. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think most fans are on the same page that you play Mac Jones until Purdy's healthy. And when Purdy's healthy, you play him. The problem is if Purdy's
what does he look
out
like
a
when
month,
you play him?
Then what if Purdy's out a month, then does Mac Jones get into some kind of rhythm where the team's doing extremely well and maybe you don't want to go back to Brock? I don't know. The longer this goes with Mac Jones, the more uncertain it gets, I think. And to me, the timetable that would be, let's say, the safest for a non-quarterback discussion would be if Brock Purdy is able to quarterback against Atlanta a week from Sunday. And ideally,
and that would
he
only,
comes back. Ideally, just comes back, plays well, they win the game, and that's our moving forward point.
It, you know, listen, and for Kyle, I think this is a good thing in a bad situation because you never want your starting quarterback to be injured. But the bottom line, Stanley, we're having a conversation, and nobody knows what the ultimate opinion matters, and that is to Kyle Shanahan. But what would you give me for this? You can tell me right now, and the topic is provocative, you can tell me right now, oh, Guru, you're going to old stuff, but if we're really being real, the fact that Brock has this track record of taking a different version of this team to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game, Stoney, that stuff means something to the point of it's why, it was a big part of why I believe they paid him. That just doesn't go away. And I forgot to ask Evan when he says, you know, you let Mac play until he loses, but is that – so are you ignoring what Brock has done as a Niner quarterback, or are you saying let Brock play until he loses so Brock can get healed, you know, take more time to get healed? So I don't know. This is just me. I think what he's accumulated in his career as a Niner – is untouchable for what Mac can do, even if Brock were to miss the next 3 to 4 games. But, Evan, I forgot to ask you that when you said until he loses. Was that being part of it being safe with Brock?
Yeah, part of it is it buys Brock Purdy more time.
All right.
Another part is, too, if Brock Purdy comes back and he doesn't win, how do you sell that to the team? Because you purposefully went away from a guy you had not lost a game with, and it's not just about Brock and his contract. It's about the team, and you're trying to win together. So I do think you have to ride the hot hand until the hot hand essentially folds.
Now, to Evan and you and the listener, Stoney, let's just say the last time we had seen Brock and it was a win, Evan, would you feel that way about – I'm asking because he got me thinking – Evan, had Brock won that last game he was in and he would be 2-0, would that change your last statement there about, you know what, ride the hot hand, because Brock would have had 2 wins under his belt instead of 1 and a loss that people seem to not be able to shake?
Yeah, I mean, it would change things, but the reason why they lost the game is because of Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
So it, like, the context matters. It wasn't like he didn't lose the game because
I got you.
He played really well and the team let him down. Like, he lost that football game.
3 turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, and let's also be honest, he got re-injured in that game. So he might have won it, and he still wouldn't have quarterbacked the next week because he got hurt.
Interesting.
You know, we can talk about there's not a controversy, there's not an issue. Yeah, I agree, we're not there yet. So tell me when Brock starts next. I hope I'm saying this right. Is this Depeche in Danville? Depeche. What's going on, man?
Yes, gentlemen. It's Depeche from Danville.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love the show. I just want to chime in. For many years, we've not had a quarterback. Now we finally have a franchise quarterback, and the fans are a little fickle. Brock's hurt. He will play when I think he's healthy. Hopefully not this game, the next game. And when he's back, he is our quarterback, even if he loses a few games. So it takes a while to get into rhythm. So I don't think we have a quarterback controversy. We're very lucky to have a quarterback who has taken us to NFC Championship games and the Super Bowl. I think Mac Jones is a very good quarterback, but Brock Purdy really is our quarterback. I just don't see there to be a quarterback controversy at all. It's a great position to be in, and I like to take a comments on the other side. I think we need to kill the conversation around quarterback controversy. And he plays when he comes back, he's healthy, whether next game or 2 games or 3 games out. And if he loses a few, he loses a few. Joe Montana also lost a few games. So let's just enjoy And I'll take your comments on the other side, gentlemen. Have a fabulous day.
Thank you.
Depesh, appreciate it. I mean, like, here's the way I'm looking at it, and I don't need to call it a controversy. So, but I think what we've got to acknowledge, there's a lot of unknown here. So when do we play Purdy? All right, let's just keep it generic.
Okay.
When he's healthy, fair. Let's just say that's Atlanta, like Depesh said.
All right.
I could see that scenario. They play this weekend, and then Brock says he's ready to play, and he goes and plays versus Atlanta. Right. Okay. But nothing ends there is all I'm saying.
Because it's performance-based, right? If Brock has another Jacksonville, then I think there's a real question to be had about – hey, our backup quarterback has been hot. We understand that. We've given the keys back to Brock. But, Stoney, if his second game back is stinky and boo-boo, then I think it's fair to say, then I'm like, okay, for the right now, we need to play the quarterback that's having the better performance.
Well, it's not over at the performance either. We've got it, like, he has not been able to play more than one game without getting hurt. Right. So after the Atlanta game, they've got to figure out whether he can play the week after that. Because every time he's played a game, he can't play the following week. I get it. It's only been two. But, like, that's what I mean about the decision is not, like, this doesn't end if Brock comes back against the Falcons because – then we've got to look at his performance. We've got to look at how mobile he was. Then we've got to see how the toe reacts. I mean, the scariest thing that Lorenzo Neal said was he might be unable to practice for a big chunk of this season.
Real so talk.
That's kind of like I'm not really taking it any anywhere further than that.
Yeah, and I don't want to muddy the waters, but this is just me. If I was Brock Purdy and I'm watching my backup quarterback, you know, a guy behind me, you know, do his thing and the team's winning. But, Stoney, the more time I get off to where I'm not playing and then it's my number is called and I'm not performing well, I'm going to be more inclined to hide how my toe is really feeling because this guy, Goo, how's your toe feeling? Also, that wasn't the reason, even if I had a bad performance. Because then I think I'm getting into the territory of, okay, hey, we love you, Goo, but we got to sit you down because your toe is affecting your performance. I might lightweight lie. Hey, this is not the toe, just so I can go out there and keep my job for the meantime for this season.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Coming up momentarily, we're going to have Ted Wynn. He is a senior writer for The Athletic. He covers the NFL inside and out. He's terrific with strategy and film, et cetera. And we've had him on in the past. And looking forward to talking to Ted. Discover the Islands. Okay, there we go. I just needed to write something out there. Do you believe that? I'll just wait on Ted right now. All right, let's welcome it. Ted Wynn on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, senior writer at The Athletic. You can also hear him on the Just Win podcast. Ted, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us, as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let me start out at the quarterback position and ask it to you this way. Have you noticed the play calling? Has it been different on the 49ers between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones? Do you see Kyle Shanahan, let's say, dialing things up differently? And if so, what?
I don't know if there's a huge difference between what they're dialing up. I think Mac Jones definitely executes it a little differently. Brock Purdy's going to try to create a little bit more. That's part of his game, scrambling. I think he's going to take some more chances as far as throwing the ball downfield too, whereas Mac Jones is just kind of robotic the way that he's executing it against the Rams defense, which gave them a ton of space. They kept on playing a lot of soft coverage, even though they were getting peppered underneath over and over again, which kind of played into Mac Jones and the Niners' hands. They just didn't trust their corners, so they were just playing off the whole time, which was really advantageous to the style Mac Jones plays with. But I don't know that there's a huge difference. I mean, there's a ton of plays that, you know, we've seen the Niners run plenty of times as staples of their offense against the Rams on Thursday night. So, yeah, to answer your question, I don't think there's a huge difference. I just think it's the way that those two quarterbacks are executing.
Hey, Ted, nice to talk to you. I think I owe a big apology to one Deebo Samuel. I was a little vocal the last couple of years because I felt like, you know, we didn't get, you know, the Deebo of the past. But this year, so much talk has been about what's going on with the run game. And I just had a thought this past Sunday when the Niners didn't play, just watching him in Washington. And, Ted, I just want to run by you. Do you think all the window dressing that came with Deebo and what he was going to do when he was in motion and if he were going to get the ball – do you think that has had any impact on defenses looking at this Niner offense? Like, with no Deebo, they're easier to defend. Anything there?
I think that's a small part of it. I mean, for a long time, Deebo was such a big part of the run game and such a big part of confusing defenses because of the versatile personnel package they have and not knowing who's going to line up at running back, who's going to be the ball carrier. But, you know, he's kind of gotten phased out of that in the last couple of years as a Niner. So I think the bigger issue is just the run blocking and the inability to sustain blocks. George Kittle is one of the best run blockers at tight end in the entire league. So missing him in an outside zone type of offense is huge as well. So, you know, I would hesitate to say that losing Deebo was a main factor in why the run game has been so bad. I think mainly blocking, especially blocking at the edge, is one of the bigger factors to me.
Ted Wynn joining us on 95.7 The Game, senior writer at The Athletic. You can also hear him on the Just Win podcast. What do you make of the quarterback situation right now with the Niners? Purdy has played two games. He's got turf toe. Didn't respond well after Jacksonville. Team's 3-0 under Mac Jones. It kind of seems like they're leaning toward Mac Jones for Sunday's game against Tampa Bay. But how do you handle it moving forward if Mac Jones continues to play well and Purdy just continues to progress?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen a bigger sample size of Brock Purdy playing at a very high level than Mac Jones. And I think Purdy definitely had some issues dealing with that injury against the Jaguars. And he's kind of not played up to his level in the past few games, so I can understand where the sentiment comes from. But to me, I think there's just a way larger sample size as far as Brock Purdy playing at a high level, taking you in playoff games, winning playoff games, getting to the Super Bowl. So I think with Mac Jones, you have a very good backup that can execute your offense at a high level. So I think don't rush Purdy back at all. I mean, take the time he needs to heal up that toe. The Niners are in a very good position at 4-1. And this is the reason why you brought Mac Jones in, because you felt like his skill set would fit well in this offense. So to me, I think there's no controversy, despite, you know, seeing all these tweets on Niner Twitter arguing that maybe Mac Jones should replace Brock Purdy. But I definitely think they have a luxury of just making sure that Brock Purdy is fully healthy before he gets put back into the lineup.
Mm. Ted, when I look at and talk about Big Trent Williams, you know, last year he was hurt and he had some personal stuff off the field. What have you made from his performance, you know, early on? Is he back to being dominant Trent, or are you seeing some, warning signs?
I think there's some warning signs. To me, he's still a very good left tackle. He's still good in the run game. I think pass blocking-wise, he's not the Trent Williams of the past, but he's still playing at a reasonably high level to me. And I think, you know, especially at 37 years old, at a position where athleticism is so important, we should have expected that there would be a little regression from Trent Williams, especially dealing with all the injuries that he's dealt with. I think it's still pretty amazing that he's playing at the level that he's playing at age 37. But to expect him to be, you know, when he was at his best, he was by far the best left tackle in the league. Like, it was everybody else, and Trent Williams is in his own tier. And it's just not quite that anymore. So I think he's still a very good left tackle. And if he misses time or get out there, the Niners offensive line is going to suffer greatly. But he's not the Trent Williams of old. And I think it'd be unreasonable to expect that of him at his age.
Ted Wynn joining us on 95.7 The Game, senior writer at The Athletic, covers the NFL for them. Let me ask you about Christian McCaffrey. They're utilizing him a little bit differently this year, it seems. But obviously he's catching the ball more than he has in the past. But he still touched the ball 130 times so far in five games. So he's still on a pace for over 400 touches, which seems unrealistic, but he keeps kind of logging 25 plus. Let me ask you why you think the 49ers are utilizing him a little differently. And then, like, how sustainable is this? At what point are they going to have to pare back?
Yeah, it is pretty scary to have your best player touch the ball as much as he has. And part of that has to do with all the injuries they're dealing with. Losing Kittle, Pearsall, and Jennings, you're going to have to feed somebody. And, you know, they did a good job of dispersing the ball to Kendrick Bourne and Robinson in that Rams game. But McCaffrey is still by far your top playmaker. So I understand why they're going to him so much. And one of the reasons why they're utilizing him as a receiver is because they're struggling in the ground game. So you're not getting him in space in the ground game. You're only averaging, 3 yards per carry. So I think it's pretty smart to utilize his skills as a receiver. And it's very tough on defenses. I mean, you just watch the defenses. They're just scrambling, trying to avoid a mismatch. And then inevitably he gets matched up on a linebacker. And he just kills him. So I would say at least a lot of these touches are more low impact touches because they're coming at receiver instead of just ramming into the line like you would as a running back. But I would imagine that once the Niners get healthier, they have to be more cognizant of lowering those touches because you want him to last the entire season because he's such an important part of your offense. But I do think I give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit for being creative in getting his best playmaker the ball in space when the run game isn't working as well as you want it to.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ted. I was just telling my partner we were going over all the 4-1 teams and the fact that Kyle has his team 4-1 with all the injuries they've had to endure. It's crazy. But with that said, Ted, you know, if a ball bounces this way or that way, you know, they could be 2-3, but they're not. But if I were to ask you how good are the 2025 Niners through 5 weeks, how would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely agree with you. You don't want to live in a world where you're in all these one-score games because, as we know, once regression hits, that ball is going to bounce the other way.
Yeah.
And you could lose those games. But at the same time, like, with all the injuries that they have, to be this competitive and be in position to win those games is very it's a credit to the coaching staff, credit to the guys on the team for fighting. But you hope that once they are able to get healthier, that they win some of these games a little bit more convincingly, to kind of show that they are a team to be reckoned with once the playoffs come, rolling around. So to answer your question, I think this is a very good Niners team. The biggest questions to me were defensively, how would all these young guys mesh up defensively? How would Robert Saleh perform? And honestly, they've exceeded my expectations. I think a lot of these young guys have played really well. Mykel Williams, you see some of the young defensive linemen stepping in. Those young defensive backs are doing a good job covering, and they're asking a lot of those defensive backs, playing more aggressively than they have in the past as far as blitzing and asking them to play a little bit more man coverage and tight coverage. So I think, you know, this defense is ahead of where I thought it was going to be, and they're missing Nick Bosa, so maybe they even add a pass rusher to the equation at some point. I think the offense is going to start playing like the offense we expect and are used to seeing from the Niners as they get healthier. So, if the defense keeps improving the way it is, and then you have that offense that we know can be elite once they're healthy. This could be a team that really competes in the NFC once the playoffs run around. So I think they're ahead of where I thought they were going to be, and I thought they were going to be a pretty good team.
How would you answer the same question about Tampa Bay? My partner Guru told me a stat where they've been down. They were down with a minute left in all four of their wins. So is when you see stuff like that, and the 49ers obviously are hurt, but like you said, they've won a lot of tight games. How do you make a judgment on a team like that, and what do you think of the Bucs?
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs are actually a pretty similar team to the Niners right now because they're really beat up too, but the difference is a lot of their guys aren't coming back. Like they have a lot of guys on IR, like Luke Getteke, their right tackle, that is one of the best in the league. They had lost some linemen, are going to be out for the season. Mike Evans will be back eventually, but they're a really beat up team right now. They didn't have Bucky Irvin last week. They have some young defensive backs that are playing really well on the defensive side of the ball. So, obviously, again, you don't want to be in all these one score games, but I think they're coaching staff-wise, they're doing a good job of working around these injuries, and to put up 38 against that Seahawks defense, as we know, is one of the best of the league, was pretty impressive to me. And we'll see where they go as their defense progresses. I think their offense will continue being high-scoring, but their defense definitely has to get better. They don't want to be in shootouts too often.
Hey, Ted, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, and should be a great game
thank
on
you.
Sunday.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Ted Wendt, senior writer for The Athletic. Yeah, how come we're not talking about Tampa Bay's injuries? Decimated.
Nah, I got you.
Decimated.
Got you. Yeah, but I just feel like, and he said they're not coming back. I know Bosa's not coming back, but I guess
my question is, why in Tampa Bay can they hear the crying from the Bay, but when we're in the Bay, we can't hear the crying from Tampa Bay?
But who's crying when you're 4-1?
The 49ers fans.
They're 4-1.
No, but they you know,
they're 4-1. Now, if they were 1-4.
Right. When they lose a game, Wait till you hear about the injuries.
I'm gonna be honest. That Tampa, that Jaguar game they lost, a lot of it was about bad play. I'm not saying, if we did the 80-20, 70-30 study, I think a lot of that people were mad at the bad play, run defense giving up a 48-yard run, and Brock Purdy, he wasn't at his best.
Well, he was hurt.
Well, see, it's not even. What does Lowe say? Are you hurt or are you injured?
You know what? I don't know if he was hurt or he was injured, but he stunk.
How about that?
And now, because he stunk, you want to guard against putting him out there if he's not 100%.
Because this injury is bad for quarterbacks or anybody for that matter.
It sure seems to be. It sure seems to be.
Go ahead. I know where I'm going. Is there any part of you that thinks 2 weeks we're going to be fine? He's going to be fine?
Who?
Or are you going to go with the former low kneel and Baldy about just how debilitating this thing can be? I don't think 2 weeks is going to solve it, partner. That's all I'm saying.
I have no idea.
Because you don't have to get the needle?
Well,
remember Lowe mentioned that.
When's their bye week?
That's what I blew past.
Does anybody know
earlier
offhand? I mean, he's already missed a week and a half, right? He played Jacksonville, so he's already missed a week. He misses two more weeks.
Week
14,
Donnie's debut.
Oh, so not for a while yet. Okay.
Thanks, E.
By the way, that is something we're going to have to figure out.
What?
McCaffrey.
I think we figured it out. Kyle don't give a damn.
Well,
if you can go, let me know when you need a blow, because I'm a run. I'm a drive a Ferrari like.
He's going to drive. Let me tell you what's going to happen with McCaffrey. It's already setting up like this.
But go ahead.
He's going to ride him. But when they get healthy, he's got to back off.
Oh, okay.
Dude, he's on pace for 442 carries. That would be the eighth most in NFL history. Like,
damn.
This is not going to continue with McCaffrey, I don't think.
All right. So maybe we see more B-Rob here, B. Robinson, but we haven't. I'm kind of shocked that we haven't seen him more, but I'll tell you what, the more on the front end that I see McCaffrey, I just tell myself, why did you even question if this dude was healthy or not? That's the one thing through 5 weeks that I think is glaring from a positive standpoint, Stoney. Forget you saying, is he going to last? He's holding up because, boy, I mean, he's carrying a lot of the load, man. 443, he's on pace.
In 2019, he touched the ball 403 times. That, according to my number, hold on,
all right,
is that's the only time since 2014 that anybody touched it 400 times. So 43 times a guy's carried for or touched the ball 400 times, but it's never happened in the last 11 years other than McCaffrey.
Wow. And
he got hurt the following year.
But he only played 4 games last year. And, of course, he wanted to be out there more. But you think this is a byproduct of Miles not being put on the body last year to where he's able to handle this load through 5 weeks? But, boy, I would be shocked, Stoney, if he got to that number.
I'd be shocked if he got to 400.
But what if you need that to win?
Then you use it to win, but then don't cry me a river when next year he's broken down again. Like, because I do think there might be a correlation there, obviously. Let's go to JC. JC's in Sacramento.
JC.
Hey, JC, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Yeah, this is how I feel about the situation, right? You have to have a timetable for Brock to come back because he's the starter, right? No matter how well Mac is playing, you have to have a timetable because we are on the shot clock here, right? In 3 weeks, the season will be over, right? So you don't want to just say, okay, we'll bring him back when Mac has a bad game. You don't know when that's going to happen. That could happen in week 15. Mm. Now you're not going to bring Brock back in week 15 with no continuity and fluidity with the offense. That doesn't make any sense, right? So let's say in 3 weeks, you say, okay, based on what the doctors say and based on his health and the time period in the season, we'll bring you back that time. Let you work through what you got to work through. Because if you pull Mac for performance, you can no longer go back to him based on Brock's performance. Because now you'll be in a total cluster, and now you have made your own quarterback controversy. Let Brock come back with a certain time period. Let him work through it. And if he's not playing well based on performance and he is healthy, you always have the ace up your sleeve to say, Brock's toe is not right. We're going back to Mac, and then let Mac ride the season out, and then Brock can just come back next season. But you can't pull Mac based on performance, because you don't know when that's going to happen. That's why I say just have a certain time frame for Brock to come back, because like you're going to mess up your offense and it's just not going to be right. So have him come back at a certain time point and then just be, you know what I'm saying, ride with your decision and stand on business. But,
I was going to say to JC, you can do that and it sounds good in theory, but what about when you get there, he's not ready? Like, that's what you can't, Janet Jackson.
Well, I think we're all assuming he's going to be ready by the Falcons game. And if not the Falcons game, the game after. I don't think...
Now, are we assuming he'll be ready because we won't see him until then?
I mean... I don't know. I don't know.
I'm giving him that game off, Stoney.
I mean...
I just got to do it for us and the organization to give him as much. Hey, have you guys... What was the last time? Oh, 2 weeks he came back and... You know, something was still. But again, I think, Stoney, over there in that building, Kyle is not saying behind closed doors he wants or doubts Brock Purdy's the best quarterback option. So with that said, I guess you might be right, or anybody that's saying, the day Brock wakes up or sends that text to his coach that I'm ready to go, he's going back in. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I don't know how they determine injuries. I mean, Ross Tucker seemed to suggest, and I no reason not to believe him, that it's a coaching decision, it's a player decision, it's a front office decision, it's a doctor's decision. So I got to believe that when they played Brock Purdy against Jacksonville, you know, everybody was more or less on the same page.
Yeah.
And they said, go give it a try. Well, he goes and gives it a try, and it doesn't work out well. And so now I think what could very well happen is now Kyle Shanahan makes it his decision. It's you know, if Kyle Shanahan's saying, how's it feel? Not 100%? You're not playing. All right. I don't care if you think you're ready to go. You said you thought you were ready to go against Jacksonville. You weren't very good. And I need to know that you're healthy, and I need my doctors to know that you're completely healthy. And if my doctors say, you know what, put him through tests. I mean, there's got to be a way to figure out if he's feeling better the next time he quarterbacks than he did against Jacksonville.
Well, he said he didn't feel it. Brock Purdy, correct me if I'm wrong, Stoney, he said he felt something Monday morning. He didn't say he felt something during the game. But then you could just assume, okay, he felt something. What I don't like about this from our standpoint, our vantage point is, okay, so when that day does come or that game does come, he comes back, and let's just say he's subpar, then it's the toe? It's like he can't just be healthy and have a bad game? We've seen that happen.
Why can't we watch and see if it's
the
toe?
Well, we did that with Jacksonville.
Right, it was the toe to my mind.
He says he don't know.
Well, I don't care what he says. That's because he's not going to blame it on injury. No players does that. Like, no player's going to say, yeah, I was hurt. That's why I wasn't good. I mean, like, put two and two together. He throws off that foot. He was not accurate. He threw the ball high. Turned it over three times total. I mean,
man. Like, I'm manning because I don't know how long it's going to take for him to get past this. Like, what if this is your new reality? Then we're going to see a whole hell of a lot of Mac Jones.
Well, that's why I don't think – that's why I think this thing's got a long, long way to go. There's no –
damn.
The way this is played out, it's going to invite skepticism. And it's going to invite a lot of people wanting answers to why you made whatever decision you make at this point. People are going to want to know why Mac Jones is starting versus Tampa Bay. Well, he's starting against Tampa Bay because Brock Purdy's not healthy, says Shanahan. Okay, what about the Falcons game? We're going with Mac Jones. Oh, well, now this would be week three that Brock Purdy's not healthy. Is this more serious? No, we're just being extra careful. Okay, who's after it? Atlanta? How is he now? You know what? He's really progressing. Is he ready to play? Not quite. I mean, like, it. No matter how this plays out, it may not be a controversy, but we're going to be talking about this for the next several weeks.
Right. And Rappaport, I'm just bringing his name up, Stoney, because he was the first one on it. If he ends up being right or whatever, but the initial was 2 to 6 weeks possibly. So just think about that. 2 to 6 weeks. This thing, you're right. It has all the ingredients to linger.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I just think we're getting started because
shout out MC
we have
Hammer.
To figure out week in and week out who's gonna quarterback this football team. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gotta be delicate with those calves.
No!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, coming up in 20 minutes, Seth Curry's gonna join us.
Seth!
He's gonna join the crossover, actually. Man! How many years do you think Seth's been in the league?
I'm gonna go...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2012.
Okay. I was about to say 13.
He's been 12. Dude, he's 35.
Do you know his career percentage from deep?
He's 35.
Yeah, that is.
Let me guess, 35.
43.
No, he can shoot it.
He can.
He can shoot it.
So what's this whole thing? He won't start with the big club. When can they go
Exhibit
get him?
Exhibit 9.
Is that
so like about Exhibit 9? You know he got to ask about Exhibit 9? Marcy.
Oh, she knows? Well, you ran her off. People are mad.
Yeah.
Hey. Get over it. Yeah. I was going to ask you something. Okay. Go ahead. What is that? My man's done. Hey, are you ready for your victory lap, Donnie?
Sure.
Ted Wynn just said it. The days of Trent Williams being dominant are over. Just admit, you got a little smirk smile.
That's really hard, Goo. No, he's 37 years old, no. And I say he's on the downside.
But you were saying
what
that
you,
when
what
he
do
was
you have
still
in your mouth.
My tongue?
No, you have some food in there. I can tell.
Dude, you be snitch. Yeah,
but dude, I can't understand you. Yeah. You got like marble mouth when you do that.
So you're saying I sounded like our guy in Miami?
Who's that? Oh, Mike McDaniel.
Hey,
I got an idea for the boss.
He was on it today.
So hey,
go ahead.
This is for the summertime. You know, sometime in the summer, summertime we're looking for.
You're gonna be here.
Content. What do you mean?
You're gonna still be here in the summertime. I didn't like what you said earlier.
Well,
it bothered me. But go ahead.
We should. Like, I think there's some times where there are debates that can't be won.
I love that. Should be the name of a podcast.
I don't know why this crossed my mind last night, because it's crossed my mind in the past. But I would at some point I would love to do an hour at least on, and this one hits home.
It's not
this one laughing. Hits home. Jason Kidd or Gary Payton?
It would be 2 hours. It would be 2 hours, and I want at. Well, I know what Gary would say because that's just the dog in him. But damn, Stani, that meets the criteria of a debate that there's no loser, but damn.
But it would be so fun to hear people freak out when somebody would say, well, Jason didn't shoot it very well.
He wouldn't go to the lab.
You know, Jason didn't do this or Peyton couldn't do that. People would be getting so upset.
Damn, Stani, that's a great one.
To me, that's such a 50-50 where I'd be like, yeah, you pick the guy, I'll take the other one. I don't care.
Or part two of that is one of the biggest fights we ever got in about 4 years or 5 years ago. Who had the better career, Lonzo Ball or Ben Simmons?
Well, Ben Simmons has had the better career.
Well,
they've both been lousy, but Ben Simmons was like second team All-NBA 1 year.
But
maybe
then he
third.
Had, but yeah. you're but omitting he, the worst part.
But he's
where he played with a diaper on.
Mr. Resume, do you go on resume or just talk
no,
about
on,
that for Brock
on the
Purdy?
Resume is nutting right. Up in front of the world.
Okay, and on his resume is being in the Eastern Conference right. Finals. And I mean,
it's
hey,
not
Lonzo,
a landslide.
Lonzo
it's,
Ball may come back and win that. Who knows? He's still got a shot at it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I didn't realize Seth Curry led the league in three-point percentage last year.
Okay.
Because I got to ask who he played for.
I was just going to say, can you name all the teams he's played for?
Okay.
Here we go, Evan.
I'm going to try. How many? Okay.
All right.
Seth Curry has played for Philadelphia.
Cha-ching! Got it.
I'm going to wait for Evan because I like the bell.
Yeah, okay. He said Sixers. Give him Sixers.
Philadelphia. I'm going to say Dallas.
Look at my man.
I'm going to say Portland.
Look at my man.
I'm going to say
Seth Curry.
I'm going to say Golden State. That buys me time.
Well,
he hasn't played a game for him yet.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that
I got to take the team that everybody's played for, Atlanta.
Nope. I'm shocked that a couple of you're not getting.
Detroit, Cleveland, no. Who else is in that? Horse bleep. Oklahoma City, no. Denver,
doesn't
no.
Count.
Yeah.
Denver, no. Portland, no.
Come on,
Minnesota,
Steiner.
No. Toronto?
No. Come on,
I give
Steiner.
Up. Just keep it going.
Phoenix? And Steiny, he played where his daddy calls the game, Charlotte.
Who did he play for last year?
Last year was Charlotte.
Oh.
Shot 46% from three.
Man,
I just
that
said
boy,
he apparently led the league in 3-point.
And you remember him in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I do remember him in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So how many teams he played? Is he up near Chucky Hayes territory?
One, two, three.
I think the longest amount of time he's been in a place is three seasons with Dallas.
Right. Wow.
You know why?
Why?
Malcontent.
Well, stop. He don't look 35.
No, I'm
disappointed. Stat, I thought you had more of his locale.
No, I didn't.
All right, real quick, back to Peyton and Kidd. Who you taking?
Whoever you don't. That's why it is
fascinating.
Unwinnable debate, because I'll take either guy.
That is wow. There's no losers.
I mean,
that's real.
I've been asked this in the past, and I think I would take Peyton because he's just a little more refined.
Some people have called, and I played against some Evan in high school twice, Jay Kidd. Yeah. They called him the first LeBron without all the fanfare in the Bay.
Think about that.
Well, so hold on a second.
I think if you saw me,
I don't understand. So LeBron hadn't come on the scene. Then Jason Kidd started playing high school,
but there was no internet.
The first,
there was no internet during Kidd's high school. Had there been, that's what the premise is. Had there been Twitter and all this stuff, Jay Kidd would have. My God,
because LeBron came after.
Yeah, but I'm saying Kidd, there was no internet when he was coming. When he was
so
LeBron,
what would they have called him?
The witness or LeBron, the goal. What is it, the chosen one? Jay Kidd was a phenom. They had to move his high school games from Alameda to Cal State Hayward. I was there, E. He was incredible. Could you imagine?
I just took you literally.
Oh, okay.
I thought you said they literally called him the first LeBron, and I was like, boy, that would be incredible foresight.
Body, stop. Man.
So.
Oh.
All right. Well, we got through that.
And the one thing I'm mad at, that's how we should end every show. What are you mad at me for? Why did you buzz Grandy out when I said informant? Like, I don't move like that, Stoney.
Then keep it to yourself. And don't bring that stuff onto the air. You know what you get when you get me.
But yeah, we do.
I mean, boy. You want to keep a secret? Keep it off the air.
Big mouth.
That's right. That's right. I'll do
anything.
You got
a big mouth. Houdini had that song. A big mouth.
I'll do anything to kill a couple minutes on here.
How was yesterday's crossover?
Wonderful.
I'm going to call it that today. Your brother crass.
Dibley said something. He stuck it to Evan once. I can't.
He
said something about me.
No,
Willard did something. I can't remember.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I'm in a good mood today, so I'm looking forward to
today.
You know what?
In a good mood.
Yeah, because Seth Curry's coming on the crossover.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Instead of just Willard and Dibbs.
What's your first question?
Do I even have to speak? There's four of us.
He remember you?
Who? I've never met him.
You have
honestly.
To introduce him.
Yeah. You haven't met Seth?
Why can't Willard do that? He likes to.
So here we go.
He likes to run.
Bowing
things.
Down the wheel, man. I don't get it. A dude that ain't won a fantasy game.
Because I want him to take stuff off my plate. I don't.
He cannot be that
I
guy.
I don't need to introduce even, Seth Curry.
Real quick, what's really on your plate besides your own mind? You're in your own way. You're your biggest obstacle, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, we got to go. We got Seth Curry on the other side. Crossover time.
Bet 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.